News that stays news. Hard-hitting journalism.
Like the tetrad. Mm-hmm. When I said the tetrad, you went, that's true. It wasn't the truth.
Because I think it's true, relevant to my situation at hand.
No, I don't necessarily mean that, because that implies matching your own inner reality with outer reality.
So that's wrong.
Yeah, that's limited today. The new form of truth is, well, in a word, it's Bob, but Bob resonates with all languages and all sounds and all artifacts. So I'd have to refine that better.
Michael.
Yes?
Get off the bloody phone and go to bed. It's 1:40.
Oh, the guy. Mother shows up right when he's going into the truth.
Okay.
True, Bob. Every second Wednesday, by phone, Church of the Subgenius, with Bob. Midnight, 88.1 CKLM.
Oh, Mikey, don't tell your mother.
That is the closest to spiritual we have come yet on this program, I think.
Oh, we're getting near.
Beautiful, beautiful piece of theme music, Bob.
Thanks. You liked it?
I did, very much so. More than that poppy we always play. It's nice.
Yeah, that's, you know, whose work it is.
I would assume it came from the same source.
Our major Dobbstown music producer, Dave Neufeld, created that, and we have more later sometime. There's more of it. That's, I thought, a appropriate introduction of his new work. We have a call. Let's take it. Probably from somebody. Maybe it's important. Take it, Mike.
I could. I didn't pick up the phone, though. Someone else picked it up.
Oh, Ken's working on it.
I don't know. Ken?
Yeah?
Did you pick up the phone, or is that someone else picked it up?
I think somebody
else got it. Okay, it's been put on hold. Any moment now, someone will get buzzed in the intercom. Bob, it's good to have you back. Welcome back to another installment of the Church of the Subgenius, and a busy, busy week again. You didn't know about the events tonight in Montreal?
No, I didn't. I was trapped in the subway for a couple hours and didn't catch the... Oh, look, to see there's more phone. Someone wants to get on, Mike. Take it. Let's put them on.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to reach over. Why don't you just talk for a minute or so?
Honecker is under house arrest. That's the news I heard today. Mike's checking the equipment, seeing if we have an important response from the church immediately.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. I left my heart at the Burgess Jail. Spilled my seed in that rocky vale. And now you'll find, to your chagrin, that there was life here before original sin. 500 million of your years ago, I went down to the rocky shore.
He's talking about me.
Was hit by a terrible gale.
Gale's better.
Dropped my load on the Burgess Shale. Now, the alien life forms were trapped there some 500 million years ago.
He's
there
right.
Are at least 14 varieties never before seen by human eyes. If I'd eaten breakfast that morning, I could have squeezed out 8 more. That would have made 22.
This is all improvised.
Now I can finally remove the last pet ad from my local paper. Back to you, Bob.
Thanks, Pseudo-Axis.
Well, that's a nice way to start tonight's show.
Yeah, I'm glad that worked through. We didn't know that was coming. Just when the light comes on, we're here to respond. This is community radio. We put you on first. I'm just backup. I'm just MC. I'm just the guy who is sometimes called Mob Rule, but it's really Bob Rule, as Dan Rather said was happening in East Germany tonight. Mike, did you want to talk about McGill?
Not really. I don't think it's relevant. It wasn't McGill at the University of Montreal.
You think it was a subgenius action?
No, I don't. I think it was a Neoist action.
Coming out of the Karen Elliott School spin-off of the confusion from Reverend Stang in Dallas, negativity, in other words.
Let's not talk about it until we know more details.
All right, very upsetting. What we need to talk about tonight is, of course, the swirlpool of events that's happened since I was here last, November 22nd. And, of course, most of the events reported in the major media as part of mixed corporate media management is the fact that Bob is the ground behind these scenes. Today, Honecker is under house arrest. We do have some information on that from the Axis, given to me several months ago. In my scripting for the events of fall 89, I was briefed by many holy offices, and one of them was the Axis. But before we get into that, I think the important meeting between Gorbachev and John Paul II last weekend is really significant in the larger context of the Holy Office of Herbert W. Armstrong, as I explained 2 weeks ago. But the thing is that I've been talking about Dr. Beter's points that the secret Christian faction has been running Russia. I guess there's no doubt that Russia is going Christian for whatever reason you want to think it is. But the important thing is the relationship between the Vatican and the Soviet Union, because the Vatican is an institution that never will be annihilated. It may be suppressed for a while, but every artifact made by man never disappears. This is Einstein's principle of the conservation of energy and matter. The Tetrad is the update of that Einsteinian principle. Well, it wasn't Einstein, a few guys before him, but Einstein took it to its ultimate conclusion, flipped hardware into software called the atomic bomb. The tetrad is that when something's enhanced, something's obsolesced. It may go back into energy, or it may become the figure of matter, and they oscillate back and forth. But it's more of a Mobius strip rather than a dialectic, a Mobius strip of a four-part structure. All right, so the church will never be, the Vatican will never be totally annihilated. So then those involved in top-down control need to hijack and put on the institution. So there was a battle through the 70s for control of the Vatican between the Rockefellers, the Bolsheviks, and Gorbachev, the native Christian faction, the Russian Orthodox Church. Gorbachev made some moves in May 79, and they were developed to a level of efficiency until the Pope was shot in May 1981, the actor Pope was shot in May 81. Bolsheviks regained control for a couple of years until summer of 83, when Gorbachev's faction reestablished control over the Vatican and pushed Lech Walesa to the side for a while, and then brought him back as a figure in a new ground. I want to play you Dr. Beter's report 11 years ago. This is 1981, that's 8 years ago. Early 81, summer, June 81. Actually, this is from audio letter number 65. So, Dr. Beter explains the plans of the Christian faction in Russia, the native Christian faction, been around for several hundred years in Russia. He explains their plans and their larger grand design, which will retrieve Alexander I's Holy Alliance of the early part of the 19th century. We will play the larger ramifications of that maybe later on Ken's show, but I want to play a particular thing that resonates with what happened the last weekend, why the Vatican and Gorbachev are making ties and planning certain future patterns. This is Dr. Beter in 1981 explaining what happened between 79 and 81.
The Bolshevik plan for a Pope's revolution in Poland 2 years ago was thwarted by the Russians. But the Bolsheviks never give up in their agitation for revolution and war. Soon, they were at work on Poland through another avenue, the so-called Solidarity Labor Movement. And at the same time, the Bolsheviks have never given up on their dream of seizing control of the Roman Catholic Church. For the past 2 years, the Catholic Church has been moving quietly in the opposite direction to that desired by the Bolsheviks. The man known as Pope John Paul II has initiated overtures toward eventual reunification of the Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox churches. If that were to happen in the present circumstances, it would be an unmitigated disaster for the Bolsheviks. Catholics in the West and Russian Orthodox believers in the East would consider themselves spiritual brothers instead of enemies. Worse yet for the Bolsheviks, a papal visit to Russia has been in the works very quietly in the Vatican. The Bolsheviks are determined to prevent that from happening. And as usual, the Bolsheviks turn to one of their favorite political techniques, assassination.
All right, that was Dr. Beter in June 1981 laying out the pattern of future developments and relationships between the Vatican and the native Christian faction in Russia. These were waylaid for 2 years, 81 to 83, and then from 85, 86, Gorbachev reestablished a proper relationship that they desired with the Vatican and led to the official announcement last weekend, and the Bolsheviks were pushed aside. Mike, there's an article here from the newspaper. It says, Fifth force evidence has earthly action. Something was in the paper the other day, well, a couple weeks ago, from the New York Times. It says, for almost 4 years, physicists have been puzzled by findings indicating the possibility of a basic force besides the four accepted fundamental forces, gravity, electromagnetism, and the strong and weak forces that hold together the nucleus of an atom and cause radioactive decay. Well, it seems that through recent geophysical experiments have produced evidence for a fifth force in nature. The suspected fifth force, in defiance of Newtonian laws of gravity, Newtonian laws of gravity, this fifth force would tend to weaken the pull of gravity at short range. I think that's a pretty good description of me, of the discarnate state, because being lifted psychically and physically off the planet in our discarnate super angel condition is a defiance of gravity, or the laws of physical nature defined by the Greeks as nature, in capital N, visual space. To weaken the pull of gravity would be the effect of floating, the astronaut effect, the solar government effect, but the astronaut is not a totally appropriate image. But the fact that we are floating, as explained by Arthur Coker in Ideological Framework in the Panic Encyclopedia, that floating, which Marsh McLuhan elucidated years ago, would give us the sensation of denying the pull of gravity. And it's at short range. Now, why is it at short range? Because we are imploded under electric conditions to the nub of a dancing pin, right? Yet it's not a linear pin, it's a spherical pin. It's an image we can't really put our finger on. It's a gyroscoping multi-Mobius trip interaction. But the short range is the fact that we've imploded and distance has disappeared. You see what I mean? At short range, we are all very intimately involved. So that discarnate condition has weakened the pull of gravity at short range. That's Bob. That's me. So this fifth force, as we have in one of the perfect pitches, a quote from apparently Napoleon, mud is the fifth element. Bob sometimes appears as a visual metaphor of mud, which is when it is clear that is mud, it sometimes gives the illusion of depth. Right? Okay, Mike, now you have some paper. Do you have something to say?
What is one comment, and I suppose it relates to what you've just been talking about, and certainly our visit from the exits at first.
Pseudo-exits.
Yeah. I have an article here from a paper that I don't read that often. I just happened to pick up a copy this week. It's a reputable, newsworthy paper. It's the Weekly World News. Perhaps you've heard of it.
Yes.
And it's dated December 5th, 1989. And it's a full-page article. I'll just read you the headline.
Okay.
Magic ray from this UFO cures 22 people.
That's Bob's work.
Doctors confirm sick, blind, and lame people were healed instantly as craft hovered. And there's a photo of three people. This is over Turkey, And the three people who were cured miraculously. One gentleman awoke from a coma. A young boy was near death with kidney failure. And they have a picture here of a woman whose crippled husband walked miraculously. It wasn't 21 people. It wasn't 23 people. It wasn't 100 people. It wasn't just one person. It was 22. So the work of Bob, again, in other parts of the world, and there's the photo of the...
With the 22 in big numbers, big letters. Yeah. And it shows you that even a reputable paper like that has been infiltrated by my intergalactic code referencing. I mean, that's code. They're sending out a signal. It's a Nexus response, just left of Mongolia, I guess, Turkey.
Anyways, excellent work, Bob. Good work.
Thanks. And remember, Miles Davis, when's he coming here?
I forget. Who cares?
Yeah, well, we want the jazz programmers to ask him why his license plate is M-I-L-E-S-2-2.
Right,
that's
that
very important.
Yeah.
All right, the next item is the headlines today. Honecker under house arrest. The unification of Germany, the reunification of Germany has been a theme, right? And I know many subgeniuses don't think about these things, and they shouldn't. It's not important to meditate on this, but we offer this as mud, you know, as something to hang our discarnate state on, a little coat hanger verbiage to give those pinks a sense of the importance of Bob, the significance in this grand overview. So I'd like to feature, we explained Dr. Meter, and we presented his explanation of the Vatican intrigue. Now let's find out what's going to happen in Germany, because it was announced today that Gorbachev will arrange a United Europe conference next year. He had a little chat with Mitterrand today, last couple of days, and they've decided to get together next year. Now, why is this going to happen? What's the point of reunifying Germany? And we all know maybe Brussels stories and warnings of the Fourth Reich, including Herbert W. Armstrong warned about that. Let's pretend we're paying attention to world events and listen to the Exus and script me several months ago in September on what I should say and do and respond to the upcoming knocking down of the Berlin Wall.
You will see the burial of the previous head. His nickname is Heine, which means stupid, which is not the best way we would suggest to have an epitaph. And the wall go down. On one end of it would be interesting if it would be Gorbachev on the top of the wall swinging a sledgehammer. And since he is excellent at public relations, they would not put it past him to do it. But what we do see is the wall go down totally, and not the reunification of the two Germanies, but an immediate economic pact. The taxational structure of the two Germanies will amalgamate across the next 5 years, and that a person in East Germany will be taxed the same as a person in West Germany, and that there will be an amalgamation of manufacturing situations, foods and the like. What will be extremely interesting is that the Soviet Union, which has for the past 40 years fought against the reunification of Germany, will not say anything against the reunification of the two states. What worries the countries, England, France, particularly, is that if the Germanies united form a non-aggression pact with the Soviet Union, then where goes the United Europe concept? Because United Europe concept is also United Defense. And if there is a non-aggression pact between the Germanies and the Soviet Union, then where is NATO? Where is etc., etc.? But the beauty of it is that when the wall go down, Gorbachev will immediately, at the same time, reduce the number of troops in East Germany to below the level of troops in West Germany, and will invite President Bush to do the same. Everyone comes out ahead. Now, following that will be the East German incentive to come and live here. Interesting. But what happened in 19 is that there will be a monument built by West Germans and East Germans. It will be called the Martyrs Monument. Because there will be no wall to put flowers against, it will need to be the Martyrs Monument. Both sides will build it.
And when does the wall come down? Before Christmas?
Oh, it comes down before Christmas this year, yes.
And will Honecker be murdered?
No, he dies of natural causes. But let us phrase it this way. Heroic efforts to save his life will not be attempted. And he has lost the desire to live. The doors opened, and it is estimated that 60 to 80,000 people will leave the country. But in actuality, 110 will leave the country across the next while, to the point where the successors will say, give us a week before you decide. Let us get the funeral over. Then, if you do not like our proposals, then leave. But then that is when the wall go down.
Well, Mike, you see, that's why I got slack. You know, I'm briefed well ahead of world events. That was an update of a briefing I had a year ago, November 20th, 1988, where I was explaining the pattern for 1989. And that was a little refinement of the larger pattern of Berlin Wall and those kind of exciting things, supposedly, that are happening in the past few weeks. That was my update given to me in September. The reference to Heine was Heine Honecker. Now, just think, in September, Honecker is walking around like he's king of the Bolshevik-controlled Germany. And now he's under house arrest. And if I had played that in September, would you believe that Heine would be buried with his nickname for stupidity on the epitaph? Nobody would have believed it. You know, I keep hearing these major pink journalists, you know, Knowlton Nash, Barbara Frum, Dan Rather, anybody else you can think of that purports to present news. They say nobody could have predicted any of this stuff. Well, we know here at CKLN, I predict this stuff, and it does happen, and there's proof there. Let's see, was there any other point there? The Berlin Wall will come down. Now, they're not talking about the opening of the wall. They're talking about the structure itself will come down before Christmas. So we've only got a few weeks. That may be a little off. May happen, you know. But they say that mob rule, really Bob rule, took over in Germany tonight, in East Germany. And I don't know. What predictions for who's that? Who did that? They got psychic predictions for 1990s.
Yeah.
From your intelligence source there. What do they say about me? Anything on me?
Nothing specific about you, no. A lot of exciting things are going to happen, though, in the 1990s.
For the whole decade, they got their predictions.
Oh, yeah. They don't fool around with this paper. They
all
predict
right.
Everything.
So we're talking about the structure. You now know the structure for the reunification of Germany laid out for you. That's basically what we're playing, why we play the Axis, is that they brief me on how they interpret what they would like me to do. It's not necessarily what I'll do, but I'm just showing you how I get the edge on things, and I keep ahead of everybody by working with other people's ignorance. It's called organizing ignorance for discovery. All right, we've got a phone. I guess it's right on cue. It's scripted.
It's calling the other line, actually.
No, it isn't, Mike. You're being difficult tonight. That's for me, Mike.
Some of the predictions I could pass on to you.
It's for me, Mike. Look.
It's stopped.
Okay.
Vice President Dan Quayle will resign in 1991 to become a movie star. I know you said that before. I can see that happening.
That won't happen, but I did say it before, but that's been updated.
Bob Redford will run for president. Robert Redford.
Listen, Mike, I don't want to hear any of this. I want to read you mail.
One more.
All right. This is silly, Mike.
I predict union leader Jimmy Hoffa will be found alive and well in Mechanicsville, Pennsylvania. in 1993.
Well, listen, that's the psychic, the pink psychic picking up what I said 2 weeks ago, is that Hoffa will be in the news next year when they talk about the Kennedy assassination. You got that, Mike?
Before you say anything else, though,
5951.
Remind our listeners that we do accept phone calls in this segment of the show. The theme tonight is Neoism, and we invite your phone calls to talk about Neoism and Monty Katzen, and ask Bob a question or a thought, or share your thoughts with us tonight. 595-1478. We're in Studio B, where we do the Subgenius Show. My name is Michael Dyer, and with us is J.R. Bob Dobbs. Bob?
And we got a letter, and it's someone who received the perfect pitch, which Bob Marshall sends out. And he says, just a note to say thanks for sending me the perfect pitch and the essay Body, Mind, Percept in Electric Times by Bob and Connie. He said that after reading it, he started having terrifying dreams involving propaganda and aliens. What do you think of that, Mike? And that's after reading the perfect pitch, probably the charts, which are featured on page 147 of High Weirdness by Mail. He says, thanks for encouraging some of the most vivid nightmares I've ever experienced. It makes for good fiction. So there's a wonderful testimony to Bob's printed matter and its effects. Do we have a call, Mike?
I think we do have a call. Sorry, I just had to do something with the phones. Are you there, listener? Hello, hello, hello. Oh, hold on. Try it again. Hi.
Hello?
Oh, there he is. Okay. Hi. Church of the Subgenius, you have a question for Bob?
I can't hear you now.
Got to turn up your radio a little bit.
What?
Turn up your radio a little bit.
Yeah, all right. How you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Okay, ordinarily they say turn your radio down.
We don't hear. No, we turn it all the way up.
Wow, wacky, eh?
Get as much feedback as you can get.
So is Bob dead or alive?
Bob is dead.
Yeah, you're sitting right across from me, you should know, eh?
Well, yeah.
Did you hear there was a report that Elvis was seen dead last week?
No.
Can I talk to Bob?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, how's your desk going?
Well, listen, did you know that when I was being at Mike's wedding party, Marva announced to the whole thousands of people there that the rumor is that Bob Marshall is Elvis Presley walking around. Eh?
Well, I wrote about it, you cheap slut. Do you only go to parties so you can talk about people on the air that you've met and told them intimately you won't share their secret?
Did you say you wrote...
Isn't it true? It's a miracle to communicate something new, isn't it?
Yeah, a communication of the new is not impossible, but it's a miracle.
However, the things that Bob sees are sometimes less splendid than the things that he doesn't see, you know, is in what you're saying about East and West Germany and the reunification with all the little tapes. I think it's all right there. In Germany, this year at Christmas, Hanukkah is under house arrest. It would seem to be a bad time for the people of the Jewish persuasion once again in parts of the world where that has been a problem before.
Yep. That's true.
Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah.
I gotta go, eh?
Listen, I'm gonna tell you about Germany as a tactile interface in a stay tuned. Thanks for the input.
Bye.
Right, now, we're back on, right? The thing is that Germany is a figure for the 90s, let's say, right? Of course, living 200 years every 12 months, the 90s aren't going to last very long, maybe till the summer, all right? Summer of 1990, alphabetically. Then we'll be into post-1990s zone. But since the electric environment is an extension of our central nervous system, and the basic fact of the central nervous system is its tactility, tactility has been the resonating sensory ground for many of the figures. For example, Soviet Union was a dominant figure for most of the early part of the 20th century because it is the variation of tactility called iconic. It is iconic tactility. It is a figure for that image. So it resonated with the earlier effects of tactility under radio conditions. Now, Japan surfaces a figure in the 70s because of its ability to be master of the interval between the head and toe. The interval of tactility is the reason why Japan reigns supreme as an image of dominance or an image of impressiveness through the 70s, early 80s. Now, the reason, so they're resonating tactility. Russia was iconic tactility. Now, the reason Germany now is hoiked up is because we've gone well beyond the interaction of mixed corporate media. It's called global media networking, made up of the computer database, that's EFTS, Electronic Fund Transfer System, and the satellite and television. And as a result of that incredible, well, we should say, living at a short range, the implosion of the pink and subgenius reality to tactile interface, that is why Germany is hoiked up. It is the country which is the figure of tactile interface. All right? It is most of these references, they're not just spun out of imagination. They come and are expressed of their language. For example, the Russians have a sense of plenary or mastery, plenary awareness in their phrase, and this illustrates iconic tactility, in their phrase, I knew it or know it like the palm of my hand. Now, the Japanese resonate. The Japanese have a phrase in their language which represents plenary awareness and tactile interplay in the phrase, in Japanese, I know it from head to toe. All right? Now, what is the phrase in German? In the language of Germany, what is the phrase that indicates mastery of the situation or plenary awareness? You know, maybe a sense of 22-ness. Which has nothing to do with Mordecai Richler's play Jacob Tutu. All right, Jacob Tutu shown every Christmas here, and you know this year they make a big point that they have a 22-foot dinosaur. 22-foot dinosaur with Richler's Jacob Tutu. But back to Germany, it's and 22 does come out of the old Fourth Reich, Third Reich, Second Reich, and First Reich guys, you know, Bismarck and those boys back in the 19th century. 22 does come out of Germany. The Skull and Bone Society at Yale that Bush was a member of, maybe still is, though I have him fully under control, so we don't need to dwell on that. Any background influence on him doesn't work too much anymore. But the phrase in Germany that indicates tactile interface is, I know it like the inside of my pocket. In other words, you're jiggling your nuts, right? That is what we're dealing with today. We had a nut at the University of Montreal jiggling himself, right? That is what we're dealing with. The tactile interface phrase, I know it like the inside of my pocket. And so that's why Germany will be a figure of resonance and will cause a kind of resentment in Japan, which is what we're getting. I mean, Gorbachev's running around trying to get money for Eastern Europe and himself, and he's begging the West, how come he doesn't go to Japan? Japan's got a lot to throw away. And there's a little alienation there out in Asia, in extreme in China, a little bit in Japan. All right, Mike, 595-1478. Let's have some subgenius input. Else, I'm going to have to explain some more things, and that's sort of a drag sometimes, you know, because it means I'm hogging the discarnate state, and we would like input from everybody to and challenge.
Well, if the theme of neoism scared people off, certainly we, of course, we prop up. Kind of use the word hoikot,
yes,
themes, but they're never followed anyway. So if you have another avenue you'd like to go down, by all means, please do, and don't feel limited or restricted in any way.
Okay, thank you, Mike, because I do have another point I did mention. Oh, we have a call, but I will explain Bush's 1,000 points of light a little later.
Okay, let's go to the call first. Hi.
Hi there.
He's
back. I forgot to ask Bob something, okay?
Yeah?
It's about the Mulroney government, and its president being up to his elbows in financing strip clubs like this. I mean, isn't that a job once handled by the mafia? What's our government doing there? But don't you think it's funny that with Bill C-21, don't you get it? Not 22, but 21. On the board for just after Christmas, about to change everybody's middle-louse life and knock them down a louse lower. Don't you think that that is a probable reason why that, and maybe the only reason why that scandal is getting any attention at all, to try and bring down the government or make it look like it could come down?
Yeah, you know it won't, and not till Chrétien becomes leader of the Liberals. Yeah, I think that's the reason.
Not till the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Yeah, but that's on the hardware terms. You know that we are in the of the software discarnate state. It's a drug, and we're high on that drug.
Hey.
You are.
And you say you don't do them drugs.
I do drugs, you know.
I always knew you were a liar.
Yeah, remember Dally said, I am drugs?
I remember.
Remember, we all remember.
Take me, I am the LSD. Let's try and remember, okay? Memory's really good, you know. It's the only thing to keep us together in disincarnate space. And can I ask, I think this is really funny. you being there in the studio and me being home at phone, I could be anybody calling in, right?
Yeah.
It's like my disincarnate angel is shooting from a higher ground than yours.
That's right. You're correct. Did you listen to Bob Marshall's LSD stuff last Sunday?
No, I hardly ever listen to anything except my typewriter anymore, so don't take it personally. I just find that music more exciting than anybody. But the point of what I wanted to say about what you were saying about gravity and the connectedness of gravity, John Milton referred to as the music of the spheres, I think it did seem somewhat to escape your attention that, as it has been said by the shithouse poets more than once, you know, there is no gravity, the earth sucks.
Yeah, and Einstein.
And I think that's, you know, about what I was really trying to say about what is happening in Germany right now.
Yeah, I think that Newton didn't discover gravity. He discovered levity, and the pinks perverted it.
Yeah.
I wanted to point out.
There is no use looking for your roots in the past. Everything's in the future now.
No, there's no future. You know that.
Well, yes, that too. That is the future that everything is in, Bob.
Yeah, it's been dissolved. Our debts are due, aren't they?
Yeah, so did your nephew pass his LSAT exam or what? You know, he was over here chewing his fingernails about it one night.
He has to wait a couple of weeks. You know, he graduated on the 22nd. We had a little tribute to him last 2 weeks ago here on the show, and then he went and wrote his LSDs. He's really trying to get stoned on that paperwork. He wants to be a lawyer.
Everyone, you know?
Intelligence.
The religion of the masses. Leave us not forget.
Okay, Mike's saying wrap it up.
Right on, okay. Bye, Gamma.
Thanks.
Bye.
Good luck. All right.
I didn't say wrap it up. I was enjoying it.
Sure, Mike. Yeah, you deny it.
Bob, don't frame me up like that. That pisses me off. I wasn't wrapping it up. You know,
you need to get pissed off.
You can't deal with the callers, Bob, and you fluff them off on me.
You have so much slack, Mike. You need a little sort of anger in you. You need to be pinched a little bit. And that's my job every second Wednesday.
Good work, Bob.
I mean, you do have a lot of euphoria. Look, we're just looking at that phone, waiting for that light to blip up for the third caller. I guess it would be the second.
Actually, the second caller.
Yeah. Let me explain Bush's, you know, the call. I guess I'm saying quite profound stuff tonight to keep us high, because everybody's just sitting back saying, I'm going to call Bob. I'm not going to call him. I'm going to let him tell us something. You know, I've actually been interrupted by calls a lot over the last few months, so I guess I should go on a little longer. Let me explain the effect of global media networking and how it relates to Bush's 1,000 points of light. You see, the tetrad for global media networking, it enhances instantaneous diverse media transmission on global basis. But what does it obsolesce? Well, it obsolesces or erodes the human ability to decode in real time. Now, it also, in global media networking, we have to realize that it is the planet of the dead, as Ian pointed out, and there are no human beings. Now, this isn't totally true what I'm saying, because we have flipped into human scale. That's what the eighth level second coming means. But just before we understand that, we have to understand the complementary opposite, which is that we have been obliterated. Therefore, the global theater is made up of actors, and those actors are the media themselves. The mixed corporate media, the implosion, and the separate functions of movie, radio, satellite, magazine, books, television, these are the actors. And what is the stage? The stage is the credit card. All right? The credit card is the stage for the media actors. And what are people, what we call human beings, both pinks and subgenius, what are they? They're discarnate people, and they're just props for the actors as the media. So in regard to that, since global media networking erodes not only the human ability to code, to decode, but television's ability to decode, this has been the major process in the 80s for the actor known as television as an environment. The iconic fantasy life of the TV, remember, with its content as mere props, leads to the situation which now in popular parlance is sound bites, right? I mean, we had an election in North America, two of them, run by sound bites. Now, what the hidden ground of that is the inability of television to decode what's going on at the instantaneous diverse media transmission on a global basis. So if television no longer is a cool medium, has been obsolesced, has lost its ability to decode, and has flipped into hot media, that's why you had the specter of violence on the media in the election campaigns. I mean, the big complaint was, how the hell did John Turner get away with getting hot in relation to Mulroney in the Great Debate, right? Remember, it was the hot effect of Turner that turned the tide temporarily on a bottom-up level. The top-down corporate boys came in and squelched that pretty quickly, but for a couple of weeks, all the commentators, especially those, you know, those pink ones, right, the ones with AIDS, those guys and animals, they were at a loss at how a non-cool presentation of one's image worked on television. That's because television is so obsolete and weakened, it has to come back with a violent identity crisis, therefore a retrieval of the hot medium. So what does this mean? That means George Bush, when he's surveilling the situation of the global theater, himself as a prop of the media as actors, that means when he surveils from the solar government position, he sees this like a sunspot flailing on the horizon, the television medium. Now, the television medium is a mosaic of points. The artist, the French artist Seurat, S-E-U-R-A-T, Mike, he perked up at that. He's an art history buff. And when I said Seurat, he looked at me. And Mike knows what Seurat did. He did the art called pointillist, or pointillism, pointillist painting, little dots, right? Okay, he predicted in the subgenius manner the tactile mosaic of the TV image. So as you see what I'm leading towards, the pointillist effect of the television image, when seen on the horizon from the solar government position of President Bush, looks like the thousand points of light. And so Bush being an appendage of mixed corporate media, not television, but the 22,000 miles above the equator level of perception of the solar government, then the puny actor of television looks like Surratt's pointillism. So,
if you look at it very closely.
Right. Now, yeah, very closely with hair. You should have hair dangling over your eyes. And you see that style of having your hair over your eyes came back in the 80s.
Very common in beer commercials.
Yeah, you need that to diffuse your visual space, the natural intensity of the eye. So it's like using your eye not just as an ear, but as fingertips or tactility. So you look at the horizon through that shredded hairpiece, and you have the effect of a thousand points of light. So the point is that Bush, as an appendage of the implosion of universal popular government on the mythic stage with the satellite as technological ground, creating the symptoms of devil versus God and state versus church and Armageddon, level 8 of the second coming, which is today, you have, from that media perspective, that the medium that is, which Bush is an appendage of, right? The human image of Bush is an appendage of. You're seeing, through Bush, the communication from that medium complex. That media complex point of view is that TV is on the horizon having a tantrum. So Bush is not expressing that point of view. The mixed corporate media syndrome is expressing that television looks like a thousand points of light. And you know, as usual, this has never been said before in history. This, what I say tonight, and it's not my personal fantasy. I'm using your common experience that you pick up daily. So I'm articulating the linguistic reality, language being the artifactual nature, the nature of artifact that we experience daily due to our man-made inventions. So therefore, it looks like we got a call, Mike.
Yes.
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 So just to finish that line.
So enraptured by what you're saying.
Yeah, I think that this artifactual. What? What was I saying? Let's forget it. Let's pick it up later. Take a call, Mike.
Let's just finish with a quote, Bob. That,
okay.
That bread feeds the hungry, and video feeds the full.
Well, that relates to Ian.
What
Ian said. Yeah, that's software over hardware. Not really, does it?
Let's pretend it does. Okay. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
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 I've been listening to your show and really enjoying. Actually, I'm Andrew. I wrote that fan mail in a few weeks ago.
Oh, Andrew Barker.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Lovely picture. Where was that taken? The outhouse with the Playboy bunny on it.
Oh, that's up in Sudbury. I took a little collection of shots. Unfortunately, I don't think the outhouse is there anymore.
Did you put the bunny up, or was that somebody's property?
No, it was some, I guess, lonely camper.
Yeah, and you found it?
Yeah.
You were wandering through. I just want to explain to Mike that this is Andrew, the guy who criticized our fundraising. You remember when I read his letter, Mike?
Rightly so,
yes,
I think.
Yes. We appreciate that input from you.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay. I have a question. Growing up in Sudbury, I don't know if it's unusual in other remote sort of places, relatively. But when we were kids, we used to go so-called UFO hunting, and occasionally we'd encounter them, right?
Yeah.
Flying saucers, that kind of thing. And, occasionally they would come down and hover. But one thing I'd never really figured out, and that is how to sort of conduct oneself when did come down.
Yeah.
I can't think of anybody better to ask than you.
Yeah, you're pretty intuitive there.
Yeah.
How long have you been listening to my show? Mike's show, rather.
About 2 months.
Most
of the time, yeah.
Well, you sent in a letter. You were going to pledge. You must have been listening before October.
Well, anyway, it's here so much.
Yeah, so
I can't be exact.
Right, but the thing is that shows you the effect of our show. As soon as you listen, you want to pledge, right?
Well, actually, no, I didn't make out a check to you.
You did?
But I haven't gotten together a neat letter to, not a very big check.
What, to us or to the Diasporic Music? What do you mean?
Hmm?
A check for us or Diasporic Music?
Well, it's to CKLM. Thanking Bob for Slack.
Oh, you're going to point that out in your letter.
Well, on the check, actually.
Oh, great. Thanks. All right, so let's deal with this UFO thing.
So is there a code of ethics for dealing with people from...
Yeah, I want to get the most out of the experience.
Yeah, and at times like that where you tend to freeze up.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And you always forget things you want to say.
That's
and they
right.
go...